Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Kuf Samach Vav. We'll start right after the Mishnah of yesterday, Tanu Rabbanan. The Mishnah discussed, and the Braisa further discusses, what happens if there seem to be inconsistencies in a shtar, or if you have incomplete information in a shtar. What are the halachic ramifications? So the Gemara begins. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa. The Gemara is going to bring two Braises now, back to back. Two Braises are very, very similar, almost identical. First Braise talks about Kesef. Second Braise talks about Zohov. And it says in Eishtar, although the Braise begins Omar Kesef, the word Omar the Chodesh should come out, and that's what the Bach takes out, because we're talking about a Shtar. So in the Shtar it says, so using that term, it says, then the word Omar would be appropriate, but it really should say Kosuv or something similar. So it says in the shtar, Kesef, meaning that Reuven owes Kesef to Shimon. That really doesn't tell you very much, because Kesef could be 10 cents, could be a dollar, could be $100. Doesn't say. Kesef. Says the price, Ein pachas min dinar Kesef. The minimum that Reuven owes to Shimon is a dinar of Kesef. Kesef dinrin, the dinrin Kesef. What happens if it doesn't say Kesef, but it says Kesef dinrin, or dinrin Kesef? That ain't pachas mishnei dinrin kesef. Well, this is a pretty obvious follow-up on the first halacha, because since the first halacha of kesef means dinner kesef, here it says kesef dinrin, which of course is a loshen rabim. Oh, in such a case, in pachas mishnei dinrin kesef, then the minimum that Reuven owes Shimon is 2 dinrin. Now, what happens if it says kesef bidinrin? Ain't pachas mibishnei dinrin dehav kesef. What does that mean? We're going to interpret the word dinrin not to refer to dinar shel kesef, but to a dinar shel zohov. Now, Rishbam already gives us the teretz, which the Gemara is going to give us on the Amud Aleph, that the correct girsa should not be kesef bidinrin, but kesef bidinrei, or bidinri. And whenever you find in the Gemara the term dinrei on its own, not dinrei kesef, or dinrei zohov, just dinrei, that means zohov, that means gold. And since he says kesef bin dinrei, what he's really telling us is, in the shtar, the Reuven owes Shimon kesef. How much kesef? 2 dinrei zohov of kesef. In other words, the amount of kesef that is owed is the equivalent of the weight of 2 dinrei zohov. If you're wondering what is the difference between a dinar zohov and dinar kesef, other than the fact that this is gold and this is silver, Rishbam tells us later, and we've had this already in the past, that a dinar zohov is equal to 25 dinrei kesef. 25 dinrei kesef. So therefore, if he wrote in the shtar, kesef bidinrei, I owe you kesef, how much in the number of dinrei, meaning dinrei zohov, Ein pachas, he has to go and pay him on the maturity date of the loan, not less than mi bishnei dinrei dehav, 2 dinrin of gold of kesef. In other words, the amount of kesef that he owes, with whether we're talking about matbeyois or whether we're talking about a piece of kesef, we'll discuss that shortly in the Gemara, but the amount of silver that is owed is the equivalent of 2 dinrei zohov, which therefore really means 50 dinrei kesef. With this, we have concluded the Braisa, and now the Gemara elaborates. Omamar, we start off the Braisa, kesef, ein pochas medina kesef. Reuven owes Shimon kesef. How much? A minimum of a dinar kesef. Pray to more of a menascha. Who says we're talking about coins? Maybe we're talking about a piece of silver, and that's what he means. Ein po, when it says kesef, I owe you a piece of silver, a piece of the rock. Whether it's 1 ounce, or 5 ounces, or 10 ounces, maybe it means nascha. Omre blaza de kosef bei matbea. In fact, although the Braisa didn't mention that, but the shtar says that I owe you a matbea of kesef. Why are you going all the way up to the dinner? Maybe we should go down to the prutois. Now, when the Gemara says prutois over here, it doesn't really mean prutois, because prutois are typically made out of copper and not made out of silver. But what the Gemara means to say is lesser coins than the dinner, because You start off with a selah. Selah has in it four dinrim. Then a dinner has in it six ma'ah. And then a ma'ah has two punjainim. A punjain has two isrim. All of those are made out of silver. So why are you suggesting the big dinner, since the whole reason why we're saying ein pachos from all of these is because hamoitzim chaveri olavar, you cannot prove what the amount was. At the very minimum, he owes kesef. And the Gemara says, what kesef does he owe? He owes a dinner of kesef. Ve'zot, maybe we're talking about much smaller matbeis. Now, of course, we don't really have the silver coins that we had of yesteryear, but some of you may recall that dimes were made out of silver, and quarters were made out of silver, and half dollars, and dollars made out of silver. So what the Gemara is saying is the equivalent in today's terminology, if you will, that if it says Reuven owes silver to Shimon, he has to pay him a silver dollar. Why do you have to pay a silver dollar? Maybe just give him a dime. A dime is also a silver coin. So a bazoi, why do you go all the way to the whole purpose of this price is to say that since this shtar is not written with any clarity, it's all in a cloud, if you will, as to what we're talking about, and therefore the ein pachos means gesundheit. When you have a muchzik, so now when Reuven owes Shimon the money, Shimon says, Reuven, you got to pay me. Reuven says, how much do I have to pay you? I want you to go and pay me $500. It just says kesef. So how much can Shimon extract from Reuven? Just the minimum, because he is the muchzik in his money. So the minimum is a dinner. So why don't you go and say priti, even the smaller matbeis? Now how do I know the priti is referring to smaller matbeis as opposed to prutois? Because if you look in the toises, go to kuf samach vov omid aleph, that means the toises that is on our Gemara today. If you look at about 10 lines before the end of that toises, the next toises begins ihochi reisha. Go about 10 lines before that ihochi reisha. You see it says in the toises, the ema priti, right? Everybody have that? It's about 15 lines in from the top of the toises. Yeah, 10 lines into the narrow lines, 11 lines, 6, 7 lines before the end of the toises, the ema priti, when the Gemara said, maybe we're talking about priti. Pirush, mo'ois. That's a mois. We don't mean mois over here, money. We mean the matbeah of ma'a. Because right below the dinner comes six ma'a. And underneath that you have two pinyoyim. And after that you have two isrim. As well, v'chol sha'a matbeah shol kesef ha'pchusim midinner. Kori priti. That's what the Gemara means when it says the word priti. Means any smaller matbeah. So why do you jump to the dinner? Why don't you go down to the isr or any other smaller coin? Amrit the Gemara, back to the Gemara on the Amrit Beis, Amr Papa, the Asadli Sagi Priti the Kaspa. In the town where that person lived, people apparently were people of means, and they didn't bother with this small change. The minimum denomination that people typically borrowed or used, or in Mischar or whatever, when they stam said Kesef, they meant a Priti the Kaspa. I'm sorry, the Sagi Priti the Kaspa, they meant a dinner. Presumably today, if there was a similar situation where the person says, I owe you silver, presumably they would go and say a silver dollar. We don't mean a silver a dime, we don't mean a quarter, because people think in terms of dollars. Nobody, how many people today would go and have a promissory note, I owe you 50 cents or 35 cents or 85 cents. At the very minimum, you expect it would be at least a dollar. So here too, Rapapa says, we're talking about that type of place where people talked in terms of dollars, they didn't talk in terms of dinner of kesef, they didn't terms of isrin or penjoinim and the rest.
Also, you're going to write a shtar for very lesser, I mean, that's just to write exactly. The shtar costs money.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to make very it on a few...
Very good point. So that's all related, if you will. That's very good. Shkoyah. And Tan Rabbanan. So now we have a braisa which talks about zov, and you'll see it's virtually identical to the previous braisa. What happens if it says in a shtar Reuven owes Shimon dahav? Dahav is the same as zov because dalet and hay are mischalef in Aramaic. Anyway, is dahav ain't pachos min dinah dahav. So then the minimum is dinah dahav, which we said again is 25, the value of 25 dinrei kesef. What happens if it says in the shtar dahav dinrin the dinrin dahav? Ain't pachos mishnei dinrin dahav. Like we said before, since he didn't just say dahav, he said dinrei dahav, then what does that mean? That means the minimum is two dinrim, because it's Lashon Rabbah. Now we have to have a bid dinrin. Oh, so what's the din now? So now it's the mirror image of what we had in the previous price. Remember, in the previous price we had kesef bedinrin, which we said means kesef bedinrei. What did we say? It means you have to, he owes him kesef. How much kesef? The value and the weight of two dinrei zav. Here it's the other way around. It's dahav bedinrin, and this is bedinrin, because dinrin is the way we refer to kesef as opposed to zav. Is dahav bedinrin, ein pachas mi bishnei dinrin kesef dahav. He owes him taka gold. How much gold does he owe? Not less than two dinrei kesef worth of zahav. I don't know if they had any matveya that size of zahav. So presumably this dahav is referring to, in fact, pieces of gold. And we'll see that shortly on the Amidah. The total amount of dahav that he owes of zahav is the value and the weight of two dinrin of kesef. Good. So that was the brisa. And once again, the Gemara starts with Amamar. Dahav, ein pachas mi dinar dahav. Eima nascha, maybe when we're talking about dahav, he means that he owes him a piece of a gold bar, not a gold matbeya. Amr blaza dekosim matbeya. Like we said before, that in fact it didn't say in the shtar just the word kesef. It said matbeya shel kesef. So what's the minimum matbeya shel kesef? I'm sorry, minimum matbeya of zav. The minimum matbeya is that of a dinar zav. And again, they want to ask the same kasha. Ve'ema priti. Maybe it's referring to priti. Smaller coins than the golden dinner. Priti to the havali of the inchi. I'm sorry. Even though when it comes to kesef, one does make smaller coins, but the previous Gemara gave the teretz, possibly sagi priti the kasba. Yes, there are silver coins known as punjoinim, and known as isrim, and known as ma'a, etc. But the previous price, in explaining it, we said, we're talking about in a city, in a town, where people didn't conduct commerce, or didn't take loans, or didn't bother writing out a shtar. After all, Ariel pointed out so correctly, you're not going to go and pay $100 to go and write out a promissory note for 50 cents. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It makes a lot of dollars, for, at least for the soifer.
Only if it's a pretty coin.
It's pre-printed.
No, it's a pretty coin.
A pretty coin? Uh-huh. Maybe I thought you were going to talk about bitcoins and stuff like that. But whatever. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. Now, here we're saying that Prita Dehavali of the Inchi, they don't even manufacture coins like that. So apparently the minimum denomination of a gold coin was that of a dinar and not of a punjoin or an iser. Those denominations were only by kesef and not by zahav. Okay, then we continue on. Zahav bidinrin, ein pochis mi bishnei dinrin kesef, zahav. The amount of zahav that you have to, that Reuven owes Shimon, is the amount of two dinrim of kesef in zahav. Which of course means not a very large piece of zahav, a very small piece, because we're talking about two dinrim of kesef, value, weight of zahav. Feit mar ve'ema dehava pricha. Maybe we're talking about dehava pricha. Dehava pricha means a pieces of gold, not a gold nascha, but a pieces of gold. And therefore, when it says in the shtar that this person owes him zav bedinrim, says Rishbam, maybe he means both of them are gold. I owe you the amount of gold, which is the weight of two dinrin of gold. So you look at the Rishbam at the very top. First, Rishbam says, Prita dehavali avdi inchi bishum asra. That's already international, or at least national, that people didn't make, they didn't coin coins which were less than in the gold family. They didn't have gold coins which were less than a dinar. They did have silver coins which were less, but that asra, that place, they didn't use silver coins. Yeah, it was petty cash. You know what you're talking about? Coins. Hey, at least a dinar. Here he's saying that there is no such coin in the gold family which is less than a dinar. Okay. But the next response. V'dilma betray dinri dehava pricha k'amalei k'loyman. Zohav v'dinrin. Perhaps don't go and interpret that like we said. Two dinrin kesef of zohav. Maybe travayim zohav mairi. Both of them are talking about zohav. Elishazem matbeya. V'idachava dehava pricha. One of them is matbeya, to dinrin, that's obvious matbeya. And then the zov that we're talking about, that means pieces of gold. Baruch Hikomer, the hava pricha bishava shnei dinrei zov lovim miplani. Oh, maybe what Reuven borrowed from Shimon, and Reuven owes Shimon, he owes him gold pieces, pieces that fell off of a large gold bar, fell off of jewelry, fell off whatever, small little pieces, and you go into the manufacturing office where they go, and you have the goldsmith where he's making gold coins or making gold watches or gold coises or whatever gold he's making. So there are always little pieces that fall off. Oh, that's maybe what he meant. These small pieces of gold that add up to the weight of two dinrei zav. And therefore we're not talking about kesef of zav or zav of kesef. So back to the Gemara, ve'ema dehava pricha. Betray dinrei dehava ka'amar. Maybe his kavana when he said in the shtar zohav bedinrin, not two dinrin of kesef of zohav, but rather that he owes him pieces of gold which have the weight and the value of two dinrim of zohav, which obviously is much more. Amrabai yabala shtar ala tachtoina, which of course is the underlying theory behind this entire two brises, that since the balashtar is the moitzi, you know, the one that produces the shtar and does and says, hey, you owe me kesef, or you owe me zahav, his yad is ala tachtoina, because the other one is muhsik in the money, so therefore it's more, if you were going to say, gold pieces, which have the value of two dinrei zahav, that's a small fortune. Therefore I'd rather go and say that it's talking about that he owes him gold matbeis, which have, or pieces of gold, which have the value of two dinrei kesef, which obviously is much less. Now we skip these three lines, and instead the girsa of the Rishbam is like the next Rishbam on the fourth line. Ihochi reisha nami. Why don't we say the same thing in the previous brisa? What does it mean, the previous brisa? When we learned brisa number one, we also had that same expression. Not dehav bedinrin, but we said kasev bedinrin. How much did we explain that was? In pochas mibishnei dinrin dehav kesef, that he owes how much kesef? The equivalent of two dinrei zohav. Based on this concept of yad balashtar al tachtoina, why don't we go and say very simply, the kesef bedinrin means, I owe you, you know how much kesef? Two dinner kesef of kesef. That kind of would be strange to go and say dinrei kesef of kesef, but we could say nochemol, we're talking about not the hava pricha, but kesef pricha. You go, instead of to a goldsmith, you go to a silversmith, and then you have little pieces of leftover pieces of silver. I, Reuven, owe you, Shimon, how much pricha de kesef? The equivalent of two dinrei kesef. After all, what we're trying to prove is, or we're trying to, the theory behind this whole, these two shtaris and these two brises is yad balashtar tachtoina. So then do the minimum. The minimum would be two dinrim of kesef. Why did you say in the first brisa, two dinrei zohav of kesef? Amravashi reisha the cause of dinrei, sefer the cause of dinrim. Oh, so this is what Rishbam meant, what we referred to already back on the Amud Beis. Although in the two brises we don't see that distinction, however, so Ravashi, if you will, you have to amend it slightly, and there's a difference then between the first reisha and the sefer. Now, the Gemara calls the reisha and sefer, it's really lav davka, because these are two separate brises. He just means the first brise is called reisha, second brise is called sefer. And for all we know, maybe originally they were one long brise. Although it doesn't sound like that, because the Gemara starts Tana Rabbanan on the first brisa, and then by Zov starts again Tana Rabbanan. Okay, Nishke Ferlech, says Rishbam, that's what we mean, that the brisa Kamaisa is the Reisha. Ah, so now based on that, going back to the first brisa, looking at the second line right after the Mishnah, when the Gemara says, when the brisa says, Kesef bidinrin, ein poches bibishnei dinrin dehav kesef, you have to change the word bidinrin by removing the final nun. It's kesef bidinrei. Ein pochas bibishnei dinrin dehav kesef. Because the dinrei, that by definition means two dinrin of zohav of gold. In Gemara Lashon, in Aramaic, and presumably in day-to-day commerce at those in those days, when they used the term dinrei, they meant dinrim of zahav. Oh, so therefore, if a shtar says, I owe you kesef, how much the value or the weight of dinrei, ein pachas, b'bishnei dinrei dahav, then you have to go and give two dinrim of gold. In what? In kesef. I owe you kesef. What's the value of that kesef? What's the weight of that kesef? Two dinrim of dahav, of zahav, which means you'd have to go and give the equivalent of 50 dinrim of kesef, because we said that one dinar zahav equals 25 dinar of kesef. In the second price, however, going down two lines from the bottom of the omid, when it says dahav bidinrin, there it should say taka bidinrin. Yeah, bidinrin. Bidinrin, that means dinrim of kesef. So how much is that? Ein pachas b'mishnei dinrin kesef dahav. Since he says, I owe you gold, but how much gold do I owe you? Not dinrin. I owe you dinrin. Oh, dinrin means two dinrim of kesef. What is the commodity that I owe you? Gold, but the value is that of two dinrim of kesef. Just to see this bikitsur in the Rishbam, if you look at the Rishbam, the last three lines on the Amud, Kesef bedinrin, this is back on Kuf Samachei Omidei, the last three lines. Kesef bedinrin, ein pachas b'shnei dinrin kesef zohav kesef. The kesef bedinrin mashma, what does that mean? Kesef lova ploini mi ploini, he borrowed kesef. Shova worth shnei dinrin shel zohav, which had the value of two dinrim of gold. Okay, no farish, come on. Shekosuv, it said in the shtar, kesef bedinrei. Mashma bedinrei zohav, avo bedinrin hainishnei dinrim shel kesef. So there was at that time a major difference in the terminology. If a person said dinrei, he meant dinrin of zohav. If he said dinrin, he meant dinrim of kesef. And therefore says Rav Ashi, that's the difference between the reisha, the first braisa. Then he said kesef bedinrei, so you have to go and pay him back. Kesef, silver, how much silver? At least two dinrei of zahav, a fairly substantial amount, the equivalent of 50 dinrin of kesef. The second braisa says, I owe you to have bidinrin. Oh, that dinrin means dinrin of kesef, which is a much smaller amount. I owe you taka gold, but the value of that gold should be two dinrin of kesef. Freitimara. This is a very, very nice pshat. Where did you take this from? I never heard of this distinction. Says Imar, no, the sign we have a braisa. Push date on the braisa. Actually, it's a Mishnah, Mesechtes Nida, should say that. Now, O Isha Shah, you will learn Sophic Chomish Leidois, or Sophic Chomish Zivois, Mevia Korban Echad, the Eichelis Bezvachim, the Eina Shar Oleha Choiva. What is this all about? As we know, in the times of the Torah, times of the Beis HaMikdash, a woman that was a Baruch Hashem had a child, and it doesn't even have to be a full term child, even if Chas V'Shalom she had a nafel. What's the din? She would have to go and bring a korban later. Where is this described? In the beginning of Parshas Kisazria. There's a difference between a Zohar and a Keva as to when you bring the carbon. Oh, so Bill is already chopping most, they got some Torah here, that Legabe, if the Leida was that of a Zohar, you have to wait 7 days of Tumah. After that she goes to the Mikvah. She waits another 33 days of Yemei Tahara. After 40 days are over, she goes again to the mikveh. And day number 41, she goes and brings her korbanos. What's the din if she's only a sofik yoledes? How can you have a sofik yoledes? Even if she had her, because she... I'm sorry?
Miscarriage?
It was potentially a miscarriage. If we know for sure there was a miscarriage, then she's chayiv to go and bring a korban. But maybe it was just ruach, meaning, yes, a big discharge came out, but I don't know whether the discharge was the beginning of a baby or just a lot of blood and a lot of body fluid, and it wasn't really a baby after all. Nafkimin is, do you bring a carbon? Don't you bring a carbon? So you'd say to yourself, oh, so let's be machmed, go spring a carpet. Number one. Well, you could always go and say, al menas, if I'm chayev, I give him a betertus in the dofa. But the korban that you have to go and bring is a, one of them is a chatas, exactly right. What do you bring for a korban chatas? You bring a tor or benyoina for a chatas. Now the Torah says that if she happens to be an ashira, then she goes and brings a kevis, or kivsich, why is for a kevis, for an oila, and then she brings a bird for the chatas. If she happens to be an aniya, then both of them happen to be toyrim. Both of them happen to be birds. So the chatas is always a bird. What's the problem with a chatas being a bird? No problem.
Malika, Nevela, can't eat it. Exactly.
So if you had a korban chatas behema, okay, so what do you do with chatas behema? You shecht it like any other behema, and you do all the zrikas and all the rest, and then afterwards the kohanim eat it. Here, however, we were talking about a chatas oif. Chatas oif requires malika. Malika means that you go and sever the simanim from the back as opposed to doing a shechita from the front. And as a result, outside the Beis HaMikdash, this would be osur to eat. It would be certified
nevela.
Super, super nevela. Don't even get close. Because if you get close, you can become tameh. Then you can have
a nevela.
Exactly, basically. Very good. Baruch Hashem. How much in the Beis HaMikdash? How much? A shear of a kibbeh. Very good.
But if the kohanim eat them in the Beis HaMikdash, it's okay.
If it's a kosher chatzis, yes, the kohanim eat it. Absolutely.
Ketchup and mustard.
Normally, when you mechal Shabbos, the shogeg, you bring a chatzis which is a keves or a par.
Usually, it's a kivso or seira, meaning either a young lamb or a young goat. The only time you'd have a par if you're talking par queen godoil, or you're talking about a par for Gans Klal Yisrael, because unfortunately the Sanhedrin, now Gadol made a faulty psak on which Roiv of Klal Yisrael went and conducted themselves. For instance, a new product of fat came out on the market. We brought it to the Bezna Gadol, and they said, it's kosher, no problem. And then everybody, all the Yenta, said to one another, oh, it's so good, and so that. And we have the Ashkocha of the Bezna Gadol brought up, and Roiv of Klal Yisrael ate it, and after that, we proved to the Bezna Gadol, and unfortunately it was Chalev and was not Shuman, and now they had red grease all over their faces, and now they had to go and retract and say, sorry, we made a big boo-boo. Then not every person in Klal Yisrael has to bring their own carbon, rather just one par habo al kol ha-mitzvahs, par helmandovah shul tzibor. That's when you'd have the par, as well as in the case of the Kohen Gadol. But in the normal case, a regular person, that's an average civilian, average commoner, he makes an iser, as you say, that is chayiv koris, the mezid, and you have to bring a chatzas b'shogeg, it's normally a kizbosi. But here by the yoledes, one of the kabbalists, besides the oil, she has to bring this tor l'chatzas. And since this tor l'chatzas, we don't know whether she really needed it or not, you bring it al hasofik, but the kahanim don't eat it. Rishbam says it's likvura, which is not so simple. Others say that it would be burnt. But Rishbam says it's likvura. Okay. Now, the Rishbam reminds us of what it says in Kodshim, that in truth, it was very difficult for the Chum even to be matir, or the Torah to be matir, even bringing this sofik chatas. Because, as you said, it's a sofik bazora, and you're not going to even eat it, you're just going to put likvura. But the reason why they had to be matir is because otherwise, women would never be able to, any woman that had such a sophic yoledah situation, would never be able to eat kodshim. So he's saying to yourself, no, so she won't eat kodshim.
Karban
Pesach. Everybody has the Karban Pesach. So therefore, Issachar is exactly, if you don't have the Karban Pesach. Very good. Shkoyach. Therefore, they were matter to go and bring the chatas oif al ha sophic. But they minimized the number. So if you have a lady that had, for instance, Chomish Leidois, Sufik Chomish Leidois, which means five times in a row, over a period of a year, let's say, that she had five times a major, major discharge, and she was thinking, maybe this was the beginning of a baby, maybe yes, maybe no, we don't know for sure, so what's the din? She has to go and bring only one karbin, and biyoitze for all the five karbanas. Rishbam gives the classic example of a person that touched, for instance, a nevela five times, or a dead sheretz five times, or whatever. So, theoretically, you have to go to the mikveh five times, one for each time. But if you only go to the mikveh once, that's enough to clean away all the tuma of all of the five nevelas, so all the five sheretzim. So here too, bringing one safi carbon is enough to go and cover the waterfront. I'm sorry?
That's different. The mikveh, one mikveh, you're covering everything, but the carbon is individual carbonas which are required.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. So I don't want you to think I'm making all this up. You see the Rishbam. Rishbam is right at the point from the narrow Rishbam lines to the wider lines. That means only bring one and not the other four. Says Rishbam, with great difficulty to be mat to bring chatasoy, kidei latara misafik to masa to be matayah her so she should be able to eat kachim. Mishum dahi chatas as the kvura. You don't even eat that chatas. It goes to the kvura because it's malika. It's nevela. Vehim in the matara be korban echad. Since korban echad is enough, can we mesach this krisus? Now the point that we just made. Dumya de isha tmeya. Like a woman that's tummy that has to go to the mikveh five times, or same thing applies to men that will metame themselves several times, they have to go several times tefillin. With one tefillah you can be metare everything. So therefore the God of these kabbalas. We don't want to do this again and again and again, bring sufik chatasis, because we said only because they were matarit. And since for purposes of Tumah v'Tahara, all you have to do is going to the mikveh once, you don't have to do five times. For purposes of Tumah v'Tahara, you bring one chatas al safik that covers the waterfront, and you do not have to bring the other four. And the same thing applies to a safik chomesh zivois. What exactly is ziva? In the good old days, in the times of the Torah, there was a distinction between a nida and a zava. Nida, of course, had her monthly period, which we understand. And regardless of whether she saw only a drop of blood, or she saw blood gushing over the next few days, you only have to count 7 days, or until she finishes seeing blood. If she saw blood, it's the longer of the two. Meaning, even if she only saw blood, regular monthly nida blood, for 3 days, for 4 days, 5 days, and after that she was clean, makes a difference. You got to wait for 7 days, and then she goes to the mikveh, and then she is tohir. On the other hand, what happens if she continues seeing blood for 8 or 9 days? And then you got to wait until the blood is over, and then when Baruch Hashem, you are boidik with tefik tara, she goes to the mikveh, she is tohir. That is min ha-tohir. Is, however, a separate halacha called hilchay ziva. And what is that? That after that 7 day period of waiting to see how much blood and then going to the mikveh, then during the next 11 days, were she to see blood once again, if she sees only 1 day, she's a zavaktana. 2 days, she's a zavaktana. What does she have to do? Shemeres yoyim, keneged yoyim. 3 days, she's now elevated to that of a zavagdoyla. And a zavagdoyla, you have to now count shivanikiyim. 7 days, which she doesn't see even a drop of blood. And after that, she goes to the mikveh. And the times of the base of mikveh, she also had to go and bring a carbon. What type of carbon? You get a carbon chatas oif. Aha. So now, of course, nowadays, the Gemara tells us Maseches Nida, the women are machmer al atzman. Why are they machmer? Because they're afraid that maybe they made a mistake in their reckoning, and then what we think, or what they think, is ziva blood was really nida blood. And if it's really nida blood, and then you can't just automatically go and say, well, count 1 day, we'll count 2 days, we'll count 3 days. If she's nida blood, you got to have seven days. So therefore, nowadays, that's why the minhag in Kalal Yisrael has been, and as Brother Barry has been quoting so beautifully from the Masechtas Nida, that even if they see a tipas dam kechardel, they only see a little drop, like a small little chardel, then they are going and they always sit shivanikim. And that's the reason why every single nida nowadays, after counting out the 7 days of nida blood, and then going to, and then finding that Baruch Hashem had ended, they don't go immediately to the mikveh, but they rather count another 7 days of nikim, where they don't see a drop of blood at all, and then at the end of that they go to the mikveh, and then they become tohir, or tohir rice. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara now, we have over here a lady that's not sure whether it was Ziva blood or Nida blood, and once again she has to bring Karbanois, but once again it's a Chatasu Oiv. So what does she do? Again, Mevi'a Karban Echad, only one. V'yichelis Bezvachim, then she can go and eat Kodshim, like Karban Pesach. V'ein Hashar Le'achayv, since they were all Sveikois, there were five Zivois situations that she had, didn't have to be consecutive, it could have been over a period of time. But she had five of them, for that matter, it could be two or three or six. The point is, you only have to bring one Karban, and then all the other Karbanos are not Echad. V'ein Hashar Le'achayv, she was Yoytze. However, there were five children that were born, or chas v'shalom, five miscarriages. But each time we see it's stuck, a miscarriage was a nefel. Or chamish zivois vadoi, she had five times that she was a zava, and each time she should have brought a carbon, but she didn't live in Yerushalayim. She lived elsewhere. So she figures she's going to bring it in Yerushalayim time. And maybe a carbon echad, then she has to go and bring one carbon. We'll see Vashar Le'achayva, don't get nervous. Vashar Le'achayva, now she can already eat from Kachim. Vashar Le'achayva, but she has to bring the other four. So the bringing of the other four is not Ma'akiv and her eating Kachim. It is Ma'akiv that she has a Choyva. One is enough to go in Vashar Le'achayva. So that's the Mishnah. That Mishnah is fine. Very, very straightforward. What does all of that have to do with us? So the Gemara tells us that there was a lot of price fluctuation, and perhaps some of it had to do with people that were not totally scrupulous. And therefore, Masa v'omdukin b'Yerushalayim. Akan means two oifes together, because typically it's a chatas oif together with an oilas oif. So the kinim in Yerushalayim were very expensive, and they cost dinrei zohav.
Wow.
One kan cost one dinar zohav, which ranks 25 dinrei kesef.
Wow. How much was a keves? I mean, you think it's supposed to be cheaper? It's
it's very expensive. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, remember COVID, we had the eggs.
Yeah.
The dozen eggs were like $6-7.
$9.
Even more recently, besides COVID, always before Pesach, they always seem to go up astronomically.
Dynamics.
Anyway, whatever it is. Anyway, so Vushtek, V'om the Kinim Yerushalayim, the Din Reis off. Expensive. Omer Rav Shimon Gamliel. Hamoina Zeh. Moina said his expression, I'm making a Shvua in the Heilige Beis Mikdash. Im Olin Halayla, I'm not going to go to sleep tonight. Achihu bedinrin. I'm going to go make sure that the oifis are going to go down from the dinrei zahav all the way down to dinrin. So we already see the seeds of our answer. Because before it said dinrei zahav, and here it says dinrin. Toises, by the way, says that the correct answer should not be dinrei zahav, but take away the zahav, it should be dinrei. And therefore that is then consistent with the distinction that Rav Ashi made before. And if you want, it says din reizov, then it should say actually you've been din rin shel kesef. Because the point that we're trying to bring from that Mishnah is that there's a chilik between din rei and din rin. Din rei are zov, din rin are kesef. So Rav Shimon Gamliel said, I'm going to make sure that the prices are going to go down dramatically. I'm not going to sleep tonight until they go down to din rin. So what did he do? Nichlas Bezdin, he went to Bezdin, v'limed, and he taught. Oish shehayu lechomesh leiders v'adoyz. Ochomesh zivoyz v'adoyz. Meivir korban echad v'echel b'zvachem. The ain't a shal lechoyv. She doesn't have to bring any more, just one, even by
vada. The man suddenly collapsed.
How did they do that?
Well, we'll see what the effect was. Jacques de Gemara.
How can you get away with not...
He's the head of this carpet.
Maybe he made that statement at that time, and maybe later he said differently. We'll have to wait a minute to get Maseches
Nida. We had the same thing in Sukkah, where in Nardoi, they were selling the Hadassim very expensive,
mm-hmm.
And Shmuel said, if the price doesn't come down, I'm going to be matir the Hadass Shota, the non-standard Hadassim branches.
Not circular, where they weren't in the same circumference.
Right. So he said, because it'll flood the market and the price will collapse.
And guess what happened? This pronouncement of Rav Shimon Gamliel had a major, major effect on the market, much more than he even contemplated. The Umdu Kinan Bayoim as a result, the Kinan, meaning the pair of Oifis, went all the way down by River Saim. What's River Saim? Says Rishbam, two for a dinner. I'm making a mistake. River Saim means the entire Khan was for a revia, a roiva hadinner, a quarter of a dinner shel kesef, which means that the price now on 50 one
times.
Not 50, 1%, 100 times.
Right. A quarter of 25.
Quarter of 25. Because until now, it was one dinner, zahav, which was 25. And now we're saying, you only have to pay for the same two oifis, a quarter of a dinner kesef. And since there are 25 dinner kesefs and a dinner zahav, and this is a quarter of that, so therefore it's a quarter. The 4 times 25 is 100. So it went down to 1% of the price that it was the day before. Can you imagine? All the way down from 100% down to 1%. Good. But what do we see from this brisa, or from this Mishnah? That there's a distinction between the dinrin of zahav, which we call dinrei, and the dinrim of kesef, which we call dinrin. And therefore, that's how Rav Ashi explained the difference between the Reish and the Sefer of the two brises that we had on the Amud Beis. Okay.
I see Tosfos does a mitzvah from the Reish, the Limit Aisha. He talks about this book, how he was able to.
Okay, how was he able to go and tell everybody? You don't have to bring any more kabbalas. Okay, so that's for homework.
Yeah,
homework,
yeah.
You'll give us a full report tomorrow.
I'll try to.
Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So, Baruch Hashem, we fe'emphed dinrei, dinrin, and now we go back to our Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah says at the very end, you may want to take a quick look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, in the last two or three lines of the Mishnah, kosev boi milmala. Go back one line above that. Kosev boi milmala mona umilmata mosayim. Milmala mosayim umilmata mona. Talking in a shtar, choiv lemoshel. Reuven owes Shimon. At the beginning of the document, Lamala, it says he owes him a mana. Towards the bottom, it says Masayim, two mana. Or the other way around. Milmala, it says Masayim. Or Milmata, mana. Hakol hoylech achar tachlin. You always go towards the end of the document. Rejbam reminds us, don't look at the Shita Achroina, because in Lemaiden Meshita Achroina. So we're talking about the penultimate line, the line before that. So there is obviously a contradiction in terms of between the top of the document and the bottom. Here it says 100, it says 200, it says 200, 100. Hakalei lechachatachtein. Why? Because you're assuming that the final word is what they finally agreed to at the end. In other words, initially when they started writing out the document, lemoshul, there was going to be a loan for 200. And by the time they got to the end of the document, when the Malva realized that the Loivit doesn't have enough property to act as a lien or to give a lien for a money back guarantee on this loan, he said, you know, instead of 200, let's make it 100. Or, of course, could be the other way around. Anyway, Hakalei
Lecharcha Tachton. That Tachton is not the final line. That somewhere is still in the text.
That's what we said. Ein made the Meshita Achrein, Rishbahim says. Elishalayei Kosa Meshita Achrein. Ignore the Ashita.
That's where they recapitulated everything, was the Shita Achrona.
So, yeah, they recapitulated it three times. First you had at the outset, right. He owes him mana, and then two lines before the end it says, and remember, it's 200. And then the next line said, remember, it's 100, 200, 250, 800, a million.
Is that the last line you ignore? That's how much they had. They recapitulated three times.
No.
The last line, you could write really anything. You could say,
you can write anything.
Can go and say Kakola Kosov the L. Whatever it says in the foregoing lines, you read it there.
Is it normal that they summarize at the end?
So that summary, apparently, based on our mission, our Gemara, was the line prior to the Shita Achrona. Shita Achrona was, for all practical purposes, irrelevant, nonsense, nothing, gunished. But the one line before that was important.
Why even have it?
Why do you even have it? Because if you didn't have it, then the line before that would be the line. So Rishbam said, when we learned this back a couple of days ago, that because from the text of the shtar until the chasimais, you can't have the chasimais jump up on the text. You always had to have a line of space to have
avoid crowding.
Fine, to avoid any types of crashes between the upper text lines and the chasimais lines. But because he always had a line of text, then you had to be nervous that somebody would fill in that line with something fraudulent. So therefore they said, Ein lemeid meshita achrona. Now if you think I'm making all this up,
I don't believe that.
If you look back thank you for the compliment. If you go back to Kuf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, you look at the top line, Umr of Amram,
v'she'en lemeivin m'shita achroina, says Rishbam, why? Top line of Rishbam. V'she'en ha'edim yichol makarif chasimosan kof samach beiz m'sechs above the basra of Talmud Bavli. That's 162a.
Yeah.
Top line of the Gemara. Amr of Amram. Got them? The v'she'en. You're looking at an Amid Beis, it seems to
be. Oh, Amid Aleph?
Kuf Samach Beis Amid Aleph.
Oh, okay, sorry.
162. It's okay.
Okay, now I have it, yeah.
Is it Kuf Samach Beis?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you see the top line, Amr of Amram, V'she'en l'meid l'mishit achren, says the Rishbam, why? V'she'en l'eidim yechoyim l'karv chasimosim kol kach b'samach b'seif eshtar, and therefore menichen revach b'in eshtar l'chasimosim. It's a line of space. V'yochol odom l'zayif u'lochoysev b'in tayim mishit achas. A person who's a crook could go and throw in some additional word. Hilka toker rabban alach minyana shul shtabeshit achroina levilti shikazim ba dover hatzorich. Therefore, put at the end whatever you want. You can talk about whether Trump won or lost, whether Assad was killed or not, or whatever. Makes no difference for the purpose of the shtar. The shtar will be good because we'll ignore that final line.
Even if he doesn't call it kosher or the kayam.
Even if we're talking about he didn't write. If he did write a kol shor v'kayim, then you don't need this. Rishvam says at the end of that, Rishvam b'pshah, in kosim v'shtar shor v'kayim ma'i. Because if he had the shor v'kayim, I don't have to worry about adding another line of gibberish at the end, saying he owes him a million, doesn't owe a million, because after kol shor v'kayim, maybe there's going to be, he's going to be moichikid. So we talked about the machik as well. You were doing a good job in doing the review. Beginning back to our Gemara, Bruchim to you. So that's why, if you look at the Rishbam on the Mishnah, on Kuf Samach Pei Omid Beis, Kuf Samach Pei Omid Beis, fourth wide line down below, Omel Matza Masayim Kishikifo Kofel Dvar Bishtar, he repeated it, Hakul Oilech Achar Tachtoin, Elo. What does it say after that?
Hey,
cause of Shita Chreira. Forget about Shita Chreira. Now that you ignore. Ain lemeidim Shita Chreira. So it says Tachtoin. We mean the line before that, or two lines before that, towards the end of the document. And we're assuming that whatever it says at the end, that's what they eventually agree to. Now all of that is still the introduction for our Gemara, because we have to add one more line going back to the Mishnah. Imkein Kuf Samachei Amid Beis. Since Hakoil Hoylich Acharat Tachtoin, whenever you have a dispute or a disparity between the first and the last, Imkein L'Makos Zelian, just leave it out in the beginning. Let it just say Reuven O Shimon, like it says at the end. You know, just wait till the end of the. What do you say to them? Oh, now our Loshen of Mishnah Shim Timochik Ois Achas Menatachte. If one of the Oisias was Oskimekt means that it was erased. Or it became mochuk, whatever, then yilamino elyon. However, the Masoros Hashas says that the correct girsa is not shim timochik ois achas, shim leikosav ois achas min hatachtein. In other words, he left out an ois down below, then yilamino elyon. If for some reason, when he repeated it on the bottom, he repeated the same word, but it's missing a letter, then you are allowed to learn the tachtin from the elyon. And now the Gemara is going to give us real life cases. What it means that you're missing a letter and you're learning it from the top. Yizhok the Gemara. Tanur Rabban, Kuf Samach Vav Amid Beis, second line. Tanur Rabban, Yilam et tachtin min elyon. Bo ois achas. That was our Mishnah. Ois achas. What does that mean? Avolim b'shtei oisies. Kigoyim. Chonon me chanoni. V'onon me anoni. This is the name of people. I don't know too many people by the name of Unan, but apparently there are people with that name. And Chunan is similar to Chuna, and there are people that... Chunan Yiron is not a very common name, but Chuna, at least in the good old days, was a fairly common name.
Hanan ben David was a famous... he started the Karait. He was in Baghdad.
Hanan ben David?
He was in the time of the Gaon.
Okay,
right.
So you hear that? Do you have this historical proof? Anyway, so what happens over here? At the outset of the shtar, it says that Chununi owes Reuven $100. At the end it says, and therefore we're going to recapitulate, Chunan owes Reuven $100. So what happens now? Is it Chunan or Chununi? And we're missing, it's not that it was Nimchak, we're missing an ois down below. Same thing, Unan Me'anuni, it's missing an ois. What's the din? That if there happens to be only one ois, then we're going to supply it. Which means if Reuven now goes to Bezin and says, Chununi, hey, you owe me money. Chununi says, hey, I don't need money. Just Chunan owes you money. That's not me. I'm Chununi. So we say that one ois is not, is negligible, and that it's really chununi, because we're going to learn tachtei mel elyon, and chununi, you owe me the money. However, says Yimar, that's only because it was a mistake in one letter. If there are two letters that are missing, the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, then what's the din? You cannot go and say, okay, Mr. Chain, you owe me the $100, because my name is not Chain, my name is Chununi. But it says down below, it says the word Chain. Oh, my name is Chain, not Chununi. And therefore, because there happens to be a difference of two oisias, you don't say, I learn Tachtoin mi Elyon.
But I thought it was only for the amount.
That's what I might have, could have thought of. However, Gemara tells us that this missing a letter doesn't only apply to amounts, it also applies to names. Why are you telling me that we only allow for one ois which is missing, not two oisias? Presumably why? Maybe the person is going to have a name of four oisias, like we had until now, Chanoni, Anoni, which are four oisias, and you're missing two letters, that's too much of a mistake. 50% of the name, we cannot just automatically say, I really meant Chanoni, Anoni, I made a mistake. You can't do that. One ois, just kem. Who said that the person's name was a name of two letters? Maybe he only had a one letter. Maybe the whole name was only two letters.
Don like, and God.
Or Noyach, or anyone. Exactly. Don and God, we had yesterday in the
Sedra.
Shelly, you have something to say?
It could have been Shame.
Shame, exactly. Or Noyach and Shame, and he had another
Chum in Yafes.
I think there was another son by the name of Chum, right? But Chum was, I don't think he was Jewish Chum. And Yafes, of course.
I don't think Shem was of Noah or either.
That's true, but at least they were the original.
Well, they had a yeshiva.
Yes, Shem is a name. Yeah, Avada Shem is a name. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a shame that you weren't here until now. You could have added so much. All right. Anyway. You probably heard a much better one. But anyway, getting back to Agamar, Siddum Misrami, just like you are concerned and you don't want to accept a correction of two oisias because you're saying that's 50%. Maybe his name was only two letters, Mete Shem, Mete Chom, Mete Noyach, and the Don and God, and all those beautiful names. Misrami Shem Bench the oisias. Probably Pal Gerishman. If you're missing one, it's also half of the name. So how come half of the name? And that's okay. We can go and learn. Tachtin Me'elion, but it talks about two, which is, maybe that's also half a name, just like by two out of four, could be one out of two. Elish de'oise had a time until Misrami Shem ben Sholosh oisias, or maybe you have a name of three. We just said Yefes, for instance, is a three-lettered name. And therefore, I'm sure people will tell me, what about Osher and Moshe, etc. We have a lot of three-letter names.
David,
yeah, very good.
Yes, a Yud there.
That's only if it's written. Yeah, but most people write without a Yud. Anyway, so the more. Oh, Yusha. Oh, very good. Rabbi said we have another half an hour. Anybody can think of more names that we can add to the list? Continuing on. V'havale Ruba Dishma. Not that we're concerned about half of a name, we're concerned about Roiv of a name. And since people have three-letter names, if you're going to go and tell me that you can correct even two oisis out of three, that's right. That sounds like a big, big stretch. So now the Gemara says, okay, we dealt with names. Now let's go and deal with the object that was being borrowed. This is similar to what Bill was saying a moment ago. We thought the amounts. Here we're going to give an example of the item that was borrowed. You could talk about a seifel. Seifel usually means a basin. And you could talk about a kofel with a kuf. And a kofel over here, says Rishbam, means talesim. Why does it mean a talis? Because you're mekapel the talis. You go and fold it up after using it. And therefore, it got this name, kofel, in the marketplace, apparently. So, Zokti Morietz, what happens if Amra Papa, Pshitali seifel melmala ve kofel melmata, hakol heilich achra tachtoin. What happens if it says the word seifel on top, or Uvein owes a seifel to Shimon, and on the bottom it says that Uvein owes a keifel to Shimon with a kuf, not with a chof. Chof would mean, of course, double. Kuf with
keifel, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Here with the kuf, says Rishbam, is referring to a talis, shiru'uyin the kapel, that you usually go and you fold it. Okay, so
they'll use this word seifel.
Sefer, sure. Sefer means a base. Right, exactly. But a kofel, I don't think people use when they're talking about a talis. Anyway, so if you have sefer mamal, kofel mamata, hakel hoylech achar tachtoin, like we said in the Mishnah, you always follow the tachtoin, unless there's some sort of mistake on the bottom, you're missing a letter, or the losh in the Mishnah word nimchik, then you go to the erasure, but normally you go after the tachtoin. So boy, rapapa, what about the other way around? You have kofel mamal of a sefer mamata, mai. So now you're saying, what's the difference? Malamata, you know, what's the same thing? No, there's a big difference. Michashin lezvuv, are you concerned about a zvuv, about an insect? What does he mean about an insect? If you look carefully, the letters kif pei lamet and samach pei lamet, obviously pei lamet, exactly the same. But the samach and the kif, if you have a good imagination, you can see that the letters are very, very similar. And that is, if you would cut off the bottom of the kuf and just leave the piece which is in the middle, and if you could take a drop of that ois or that of that ink, and you can place it in between the kepel of the word kepel, in other words, between the kuf and the line coming down,
close it off,
and then it could become a samach. So maybe you have a zvuv who was bored and had nothing to do, and he was dancing there on the document, and he took off a little bit of the ink under the bottom of the kuf and placed it towards the top of the kuf, and now we have the same word. It's really seifel and seifel. And now the question is, I shouldn't say seifel and seifel, it's really kofel and kofel. We're assuming that the kofel on top is good. We're assuming that the seifel on the bottom is because of the zvuv that did its dancing and tricks over here, and therefore really should be with a kuf. And do we learn now the tachtin mi elyoin that it's really a kuf and not a samach? Or do you say, no, you know, I can't identify any particular zvuv, and so therefore it could be that this zvuv, you know, it was a fly and he flew away. And that's why you... A fly in the ointment. Exactly right. Shkoyach. So bottom line is, Dutimur Teiku, Tishbi Atatz.
If Yermia would have asked this question, they may have put him back...
Just got him in a few days, not yesterday, right?
Dutimur. So now let's talk about Taka money. Now here we're not talking about Elyon and Tachta, we're just talking about how do you define 600 plus 1. It says Shismeya, 600. I don't know what 600 is. Azuz, I know. Azuz is the same thing as the word dinner. The reason why dinner is called Azuz, Gemara says elsewhere, because money moves from one person to another, from another to person. And that's because Aniyas, Ashiris, Ashiris, Aniyas. People who are today multimillionaires, unfortunately, tomorrow may lose their pants and vice versa, etc. Anyway, so you have 600 plus Azuz. Sholcharav Sharvi Kami Debai. Shismeya Istiri. Istiri is the same as Sloim. We call them Shkolim, the Gemara calls them Sloim. Are you talking about 600 Sloim together with a Zuz? A seller has in it 4 Zuz or 4 dinarim. So it's 600 plus a Zuz. Are you talking about Shismeya Priti Vizuzim? Maybe we're talking about 600 Prutais, like 600 pennies, together with a Zuz. Obviously, it's a major difference between a seller and a penny. So what do we have in mind? Amalei, he said, Dal Prita. That shouldn't even be on your radar screen to talk about Prutais.
Right.
Why wouldn't you write the Mishtar? Dasuchi Miskin Hu. You would obviously merge all of those pennies and you make out of it a dinner or you make out of a seller.
A larger denomination.
A larger denomination, exactly. You wouldn't go and say in a document today, oh, he borrowed 600 pennies together with a quarter. You'd say $6.25. So it doesn't make sense to go and talk about 600 prutas. And mashviluzuzi, this goes together. Plekas mishtora, tasuchi maskanun, that means he would go and collect them all together. Or mashavilu, and he would convert them and talk about zuzim instead of talking about prutas. For all those of you wondering, how many prutas do you have in a dinner? So Rishbam already makes the cheshbon, 192. So therefore, the 600 would be 3 plus of the 192, right? If you have 192. 3 times 192 would get you to 574. 574 means 576, I'm sorry, 576. You'd have 24 remaining. So then it should say, in the shtar, 3 dinrim together with a 24 prutas.
Actually,
and then
plus a zuz, so it'd be 424. 424. Because you have if it's three zuz,
okay,
plus 24, and an additional zuz, right?
It's not three, it would be three.
600.
Six, you're saying four. Okay, very good.
Very good.
Four plus
$4.24. Four dinar and 24 prutos.
Beautiful. So therefore, that's what it should have said. So therefore, l'chayra, what would then be the other alternative based on his shayla? My amris shismeya istiri v'zuzah. That was what we said before, the 600 siloim, each seller being the four dinarim, so that would be much more, plus one zuz. Could you say that, says Yomar, also not, but rather what would be the amount? It's going to be 601 zuzim altogether, because he had balashtar ala tachtoina, and therefore all you're going to go and get altogether is, like it says in the parentheses, shismeya zuzi v'chad zuza, not 600 istara, which is 600 sloim, not 600 prutois, but 601 zuzi, and presumably it was written incorrectly. In other words, it shouldn't have said shis mea v'zuz, but should have said shis mea zuzi v'chad zuzi, 601 zuzi. Why did they take it on the parentheses? Because Rishbam says
or he took his size. He wrote a vav instead of a base, and then it would have been only 600.
Does I? Anyway, so we'll stop over here. Bottom line is, Yad Balashtar Alatah.
So what I didn't have is that you have the two.